butt in. And Brother Harvey said the only problem is we need to butt out. That's where the problem is. If we'll butt out when God butts in, the problems will be solved. I agree with that 100%. Thank you, Brother Jones. I appreciate that message. I praise God that he butted in my life. Thank you, Home Baptist Church and Brother Don Titus, for even allowing us to come just to be in the conference.
Yes.
It's worth it just to be here thus far.
Amen.
Has been for me. But then the privilege of trying to preach in my feeble way. Got ready to leave the motel this morning. Young man standing there, and I went to carry my key in, you know, that they'd given us the night before. And this was down about Miami, Ohio, I think it was. Boy, it was raining. It's pretty cool down there this morning. Handed him my key, and he said, "It's cooler here than it is at home, isn't it?" I thought, "How do you know?" Finally, it struck me. I said, "I'm from Tennessee." He said, "Uh-huh." But it's nice here. When we got on up here, it was nice and warm. So everything's been great. Before I read my text and announce my, I've already told you my subject, but anyway, I want to tell you something, and probably wouldn't mean a lot to some people, but it means so much to me. My wife has two brothers and seven sisters. The sister next to her, just under her, my brother married her. So my brother and I married sisters, one's right next to each other. I won't tell you how old my wife is, but her sister married my brother's 2 years younger than my wife is. I think I'm always a little more than that, something close there in here. I'm not sure about the other girl. But anyhow, my wife and I have been married 44 years, and my brother and his late wife was married maybe 41 years, something like that, pretty close, 2 or 3 years later than we are. Her sister had professed to be saved years ago when she was young, teenager, and of course was baptized into a Baptist church. Her and my brother married. Unless it was a funeral, they never attended church. My brother just didn't go to church. He had no time for church. He worked 7 days a week. Made fun of me because I preached and didn't work 7 days like he did to make money. I'm sure today that he's a multimillionaire. I don't know, but I know he owns a lot of property. In all those years, I'd try to witness to him along with many others, and he'd always tell you that he had no time for it. He didn't want to hear it. Just stop it. And, of course, that's what we'd have to do. The last year or two, he and I have become a little closer. I'm with him more. And I've been able to talk with him a little bit. His oldest daughter and oldest son have been saved, and they're in a Southern Baptist church, but they're very dedicated to that church work. Now, I have no doubt they're saved. One of his grandsons surrendered to preach, and often thought it was so terrible when I became a preacher. I wonder what he thinks about his grandson. He couldn't get away from it if he tried. You know, it's just there, always there. But anyhow, in those 44 years my wife and I have been married, I think maybe he came to our house one time. And I recall. Never had eaten with us in all those years. Or any other brothers and sisters. About 3 weeks ago, his wife died. She was in the hospital, I think, for about 6 weeks. They diagnosed a case. 6 weeks later, she died. Just before she died, her son went in to talk to her and said, "Mom," said, "you was always with me down here. I could always count on you being there. Anything happened, I knew you was always there. What I want to know is, are you going to be with me up there when we get there? I'm going. And I want to know, are you going to be up there? Well, I'll see you up there." She convinced him that she was. that she'd been saved. She hadn't lived like she should, but she knew she was saved. And that her son's pastor talked to her, and I talked to him, and he said she convinced me that she really was saved. She knew she was dying. It wasn't trying to have an excuse to get by. She knew that her time had come. And she convinced him that she was saved. I believe she was. I believe the reason the Lord took her was because she belonged to Him and she hadn't lived for Him. You can believe what you want to. I believe that.
Amen.
I believe He took her. And it has totally, completely changed my brother. Last Thursday night, he ate supper with me. Sunday morning, he was in church.
Amen.
I don't know what it'll amount to. Only God knows that. But I do know God can do whatever He wants to.
Amen.
We've done all we can. Gone as far as we can go. And we should go as far as we can go. But when we've done all of that, we need to butt out. And let God believe.
Amen.
So I ask you to pray. But as a result of that, if God will help me tonight, I want to speak to you on how great and how good God is to me. And then I'll let you decide how good He is to you. The reason I was talking about, I couldn't be very funny tonight. I'm happy and praise the Lord, I'm ready to go. When there's singing all these songs tonight, and I felt almost like old John the Apostle, "Even so, come Lord Jesus."
Amen.
I couldn't think of anything greater. Probably some of you heard about my blood pressure shooting up, and I expect it's pretty high right now. But it doesn't really bother me about that part of it. Because it's not going to explode till God gets ready for it to. I believe that. I think I ought to take care of myself, don't get me wrong. I don't mean being reckless. But I don't believe there's any doctor or anything else can change it except God. I believe all healing is divine. Doctor knew what all they can and they should and all that. But if you get well or you die, that's in God's hands.
Amen, brother.
And if I can do anything to glorify Him and He wants to take me, just praise His name. I'll be out of this wicked, evil world. Okay, if I can see, I want to read Psalm 31, verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Now it's talking about, says, how great is thy goodness. It's talking about to us, but then he says that that greatness and that goodness ought to be demonstrated before the sons of men. Mine and your responsibility as the recipients of God's greatness and God's goodness is to demonstrate it or show it to mankind. There's anybody in this world that ought to be happy and joyful tonight, regardless of the circumstances, it ought to be you and I.
Amen.
Many people in Brother Jones' situations he mentioned tonight would have given up. I talked to someone earlier that has problems. You know, I'm be 65 years old in a few days, and in 65 years I've never been depressed. Can you believe that? I guess maybe I just don't know what it is. I know people are depressed. They get depressed. I know that. But it's never happened to me. Somehow or another, God's given me that philosophy. As long as there's another minute or another hour in this life, and after that's over, there's eternity. Sometime, somewhere, things are going to get better, folks. That's the way I feel about this thing. To the Lord, look up, it's going to get better.
Amen.
The old fellow, they said the old colored fellow preaching, talking about divers' diseases, said God even cures divers' diseases, and he'll cure depression. I'm not saying you might not use some kind of pill, but trust in him.
Amen, brother.
His greatness and his goodness. If God will help me tonight, I want to talk to you a little while about that. This text said he's great with his goodness. It says that this goodness is wrought by him. Says that it's laid up whenever we need it. I'll get on that a little bit later on. But it's for those who fear and trust in him. I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. If there is anything that will show you the blessings of God and get you excited about the blessings of God, it's Ephesians chapter 1. If you can't get excited over that, you better check out what you got. You got the wrong thing. Ephesians chapter 1. First of all, I want us to look at the giver of these blessings. Who gives these blessings that you and I enjoy? In verse 3, it says that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Folks, they're already there. I'm talking about we that have been saved by the grace of God. We don't have to worry about what's going to happen in the future. God says they're already there. Whatever we need, they're there waiting till the time comes when we need them. I don't believe there are accidents. There ought to be accidents on purpose. Might be accident as far as you are concerned. We wasn't expecting it. We wasn't planning. But when it happened, if you want to call it accident, it happened because of God's purpose. I believe that.
Amen, brother.
The giver of these blessings. The Father and His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Every blessing that you and I enjoy tonight comes from God the Father. And it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, if you're lost tonight, if you're a lost sinner without God and without hope, whatever you get still comes from God, and it comes through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whether you believe it or not, it's still
Amen.
True.
Amen.
The only reason you're not in hell tonight as a lost sinner is because of the merciful hand of God.
Amen.
As Jonathan Edwards said, that's all.
Amen.
If Satan could, if he had the power, if God would allow him, he'd tonight burn that brittle thread of life and have you in his clasp tonight. But hell don't belong to the devil, it belongs to God.
Right.
Mighty people talk about the devil's hell. It's not his, and he hates it as bad as you do because he's going there.
That's right.
Prepared for him and his angels.
That's
but
right.
Folks, if he could, he wants to defy God and grasp God's authority. And he tries to do that through you and I. And he'd have us there if he could tonight, but he can't touch God's people. Romans 11 and 36 says, "For of him and through him and to him are all things." People brag about what they got. I tell you, I talk about my brother and whatever he's got, ever how much it is. He recognizes now, folks, that he and his wife can't do it all by themselves. Up until recently, whatever they did, they had an antique business. They'd have some great big old furniture. They'd go off somewhere and buy a truckload. Here they'd come back with a great big old shift rope. He'd get under one end, his wife get under the other, and they'd unload that and carry it and put it in the shop. He didn't need anybody. He could do it all by himself. He didn't need anybody. But I want to tell you, before God got through with him, he found out he needed a lot of things. He wasn't in charge. He was just waiting on someone else. Folks, all things are for him. And through him and by him, whatever they may be. We talk about salvation, about the atonement. Romans 5 and 11 says, Jesus Christ, by whom we received. And I know there in the King James Version, and folks, I believe the King James Version is the inspired Word of God. I'm not talking about the version inspired itself. I'm talking about what's written in this book is inspired. Amen. It's God's preserved Word.
Amen.
Now, I know the Word there in Romans 5:11 is atonement. And they say it should be reconciliation. But what does atonement mean? You read out, at one meant. Well, folks, I want to tell you, if you are at one meant with God, you've been reconciled.
Yeah. Amen.
We that were once enemies are now, Jesus said, I'll not just call you servants, but I call you friends.
Yeah.
We've been made at one with God through Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter, well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12 first. It said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the originator. He's the one started. If you've got faith tonight, it's because God started in your heart and your life.
Amen.
He quickens you, made you spiritually alive. Folks, you couldn't believe till that happened to you. He quickened you, give you faith to believe. Then after he gave you that, he said, I'll finish the job. He's the author, and he's the finisher. And Philippians chapter 1 and 6, Paul said, we are confident of this one thing. He that hath begun a good work in you, he that originated or started, will continue it and finish it to the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Folks, the blessing of the atonement. You know, God didn't just cover our sins. He took them away.
That's right.
They're gone. Wish I could sing like some of you folks. I'd like to sing that song, Our Sins Are Gone, because they're gone. You know, over in Luke chapter 16, it talks about the scapegoat. You're familiar with that? About how old Aaron laid his hand on that scapegoat and symbolically transferred the sins of God's people on that scapegoat. Then he carried him out into an uninhabited place. You know what that word uninhabited means? It means separation. He took them away. Old John, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin. Doesn't just cover them up. Next year you got to get them covered again, and the next year covered again. But he took them away.
Amen.
They're gone.
Praise
the Lord. Hebrews 9:28 says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and he's our scapegoat, and to them that look for him, he shall appear a second time. Listen, and without sin. Folks, our sins are gone. Gone. Forever gone. He's coming back, as that song said earlier, to take us with him. And I wish he'd come tonight. I've got to hurry on. Secondly, tonight I want you to notice the greatness of these blessings. Then Psalm 31:19 said, how great is his goodness.
Amen.
Folks, you just don't know me like I know me, and I don't know me like God knows me. But I don't even like what I know about me tonight. But if you could just know where I come from. My brother that's lost tonight has seen me do things that he's never done. He wouldn't do them, even though he was lost. And yet I'm saved, declared not guilty, not one blot on my record. 2,000 years ago, even before I came along, my Savior swap pages with me.
Amen.
He took all the blackness and the filthiness and the awfulness of my sins and took them on himself and gave me his pure righteousness.
Amen.
That's how I stand before God tonight.
Amen.
Folks, you can't get any greater than that.
Amen.
That's as great as you can get. That's what God's done for me in his goodness tonight. These blessings are enormous, innumerable, You try to count them sometime. You know the song, Count Your Blessings? You just count. Folks, start way back there when you was a little bitty kid. And remember how good God was to you. Or you could have been born in Siberia. You could have been burned in the furnaces in Germany. Been born of an infidel mother and an infidel father. All of those things. You being born in America, in a Christian home, in a Baptist church, you ought to get down on your knees and pray and thank God tonight for such a privilege. And it's by His grace. 1 Corinthians 3:21 said, for all things are yours. Whether present, past, future, said even death is yours. Folks, it's a gift of God. He's going to get us out of this wicked world one of these days. Romans 8:28 said, all things work together for them that are called according to His purpose. God's foreknowledge, God's election, God's calling, God's predestination, God's justification, God's glorification. And I want to tell you, when He gets through us all of that, He gives us His satisfaction. Amen. Lamentations 3:22-23 says, God's mercy is new every day.
Yeah.
I don't have to know about tomorrow.
That's right.
I can lay down tonight and go to sleep. I don't have to worry about tomorrow.
That's right.
I really don't. Because when I wake up in the morning, even before I wake up, even during the night,
yes,
His mercies are going to be new every day for whatever I need. They're going to be there.
Amen.
I just rest in Him. How innumerable are His blessings. Heirs, Romans 8:17, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I got to thinking earlier this evening what that meant. Folks, I'm not talking about the silver and gold of this world. But I'm going to have everything Christ has got. Not just part of it. I'm a joint heir with Him.
Amen.
Folks, when this thing's over with, He's not going to just take a little piece, what He's got, and give me a little piece, and you know what I mean? Every one of us is going to get all of it.
Yeah.
Everything He's got, I'm going to have. You know what the Bible says? It said it had, that Jesus Christ had the presence and the power of God without measure. You know, I just get a little bit of the Holy Spirit, man, I just want to float off somewhere. I'm honest with you. I get so happy sometimes. You know, I just can't tell people how happy I am. And I'm just getting a little taste of it. I mean, it's just a little taste of the glory that is to come. But one day, I'll be a joint heir, and I'll have the presence and the power of Almighty God like Jesus Christ has it.
Amen.
Be right there with Him, standing in His presence.
Amen.
The nature of these blessings. I can't cover all of them because there's so many. Man, I could stand here tonight, and I've been in Clarksville, Tennessee 13 years. Next month. I believe it's right. Move there. And it'd take me a rest of more time than I got just to tell you what God's done to me earthly. I'm not talking about spiritual, but just earthly blessing.
Amen.
You know, it's the strangest thing. I believe God done this just for me.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about. I'll be 65 the 12th of May. Well, I didn't want to quit preaching. Of course, I wanted to get my Social Security. I paid it in. It's mine. Of course, they giving it to everybody else, but who paid it in? But I knew if I kept doing anything, they was going to keep it. So I went down and I told them, I said, I just want to sign up for my Medicare. My church pays my hospital insurance, so I just want to get Medicare and whatever goes along with that. I'm not going to draw my Social Security yet, a check. And the man said, okay. And then I talked to the woman. Later they called me after I'd signed up. The woman called me. And she said, well, if the president signs this, and I'm always scared of anything he's going to sign. But she said, It's already gone through the Senate and the Congress. And if he signs this thing, you can make as much as you want to. Well, man, I want to make a lot. And I don't want to give them any more than I have to either. If it hadn't been for that, I'd have to give them two out of every $3 I got. After so much I've given one. But you know God worked that thing out. And of course I'm going to have to pay taxes, and I don't mind it as long as I make it where I can pay it. You know, I don't mind that if they'd spend it like I want them to. But anyhow, they're going to let me make as much as I want to. Some of you older than I am, you didn't get it. Now, I don't believe God, I almost believe he just done it for me, but I believe he done it for some others too. But folks, I don't believe things like that are an accident. I believe it's God just numerous, enormous blessing upon his people, but that's just earthly. They're primarily spiritual blessings. Man, you can't compare them. There's no comparison with earthly and spiritual blessings. Here in Ephesians chapter 1, I just want to just mention a few of them. We're chosen, verse 4. In verse 11, we're predestinated. In verse 5, God makes it legal. He adopts us. Verse 6, he accepts us. Verse 7, he redeems us. Verse 7, he forgives us. And praise God for this next one, folks. I just a little ignoramus. You know what somebody told me years ago when I first started preaching? I just been through high school. This Southern Baptist pastor, I went to preach for him. And he said, let me tell you something. He said, if you don't go to seminary, you won't never mount to a hill of beans. Well, I didn't expect to any as far as that part's concerned. But says you won't never get out of Dawsonville as far as preaching is concerned. He died about 30 years ago. He didn't get out of Dawsonville alive. But he died about 30 years ago. And I don't mean to brag at all, but I've preached many, many places. Folks, and God's blessed me untold.
Amen.
And I didn't go to seminary either.
Amen.
I might have been better. Might have learned more. I don't know if I'll say it'd be better because it don't always make you better. Seminary does. But anyhow, I get off of that subject. But the point I'm talking about is right here. Listen. And it says, verse 8, he gives us wisdom and prudence.
Amen.
Folks, the ability to see and know and understand things that this world has no conception of. I want to tell you, folks, you've never seen anything. You don't know anything until you see and understand the amazing, sovereign grace of God.
Amen.
You know, old Paul said he takes one in waters, and it takes another and plants a seed, and you take it, folks. Nothing plus nothing equals something. He takes me that's nothing, and some other person that's nothing, and we preach the gospel, God bless it, and raises up a lost person into a child of God.
Amen.
Folks, that's nothing plus nothing equals something.
Amen.
You can't do it. Nobody else can.
Amen.
But God
Amen.
Does.
Amen, brother.
And only God can make you understand that.
Yeah.
I used to think anybody was a nut, believed in the doctrine of grace. I really did. I mean, I was serious about that. Preached against it. God got a hold to me and opened my eyes, as Brother Jones said. But God interrupted me and showed me the truth about grace, and that which I once hate, it now thrills my soul.
Amen.
To know that there was nothing in me, no reason whatsoever, no cause, but God just loved me anyhow and chose me and predestinated me one day to be just like His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, The devil and all his angels can't stop it. Reveals to us the mysteries. Mysteries of his glorious church. You know, there are some people who can only see vertical, they can't see horizontal. You know that? That right? Folks, I see vertical. I see Jesus high and lifted up. But I also see horizontal. I see how the Lord Jesus Christ started his first church, and from that first church, another church came. From that church, another church came. They've been keep on coming until this day, and they'll keep on until he comes back and takes them out of here. Folks, I want to tell you, I grew up a Universalist, church and salvation. And God took me out of the claws of the Southern Baptist Convention and a little country church down in Dodsonville, Tennessee, that had a pastor that was as much Methodist as he was Baptist. God took me out of that and placed me where I could learn the truth and gave me the ability to understand it and made a real, honest-to-goodness missionary Baptist.
Amen.
And that's the only way you'll get it.
Amen.
God does it.
Amen.
Reveals these mysteries to you.
Amen.
Well, I really have got to hurry. The character of these blessings. The nature of them is spiritual, but the character of them is heavenly. They come down from heaven.
Amen.
John 3:27 says, man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven.
Amen.
Romans 8:29-31, you're familiar with that. Those he foreknew, he also did predestinate. Those he predestinated, he called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified.
Amen.
Every bit of that's in the past tense.
Amen.
Folks, it's not going to be. It already is. He foreknew us, predestinated us, called us, justified us, and glorified us. Philippians 3:21 said he's going to change this vile body and fashion it like in his glorious body.
Amen.
We're going to have a heavenly body. Where these blessings are, said, who trust in him and who fear him, they're in Christ. Folks, the only way you can receive these blessings tonight is through the Lord Jesus Christ. All promises are in him. All in him. I'm not saying that God won't give them to you, but the only way you can lay claim to them is through him. We're only accepted in the beloved in Jesus Christ. We're accepted, first of all, in God's election. Verse 4. Ephesians 1, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. For 2 Thessalonians 2:13 tells us we're bound to give thanks to him who had before chosen us unto salvation through belief of the truth, through the sanctification of the Holy Spirit and belief of the truth. Then by regeneration, born again into the family of God.
Amen.
We are his workmanship.
Amen.
Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Amen.
Folks, I want to tell you something. My works, me living like a Christian, was just as much ordained of God as my salvation was.
Amen.
If you say you've been saved by God, or your salvation was ordained of God, and you don't live like it, you're lying.
Yeah.
Because he ordained you to live like it just as much as it did that you become one.
Right.
You can't separate them.
Amen, brother.
I'm not saying you live like somebody else. I'm just saying you're a little different than what you was before you saved.
Right.
All wrought by God. But then you know it said there in that verse, Psalm 31:19. And we haven't gotten all these blessings yet. Some of them are laid up. The king really is coming. He really is. One of these days, and we're going home. Old Apostle Peter, by the Holy Spirit, First Peter 1 and 4 say we have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved, laid up. For who? For those who are kept by the power of God through faith, ready to be revealed in the last day. Boy, it's waiting for us. It's there. Mine's there. For those who trust in Him, for those who have been born again by the Spirit of God, have been quickened and given faith to believe. And I want to tell you, if you ever believe in Him, you'll fear Him. You know, I want the Lord to come back, and I know I'm going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. I know I'm saved tonight, but I still tremble at the thought. I really do. I'm not scared, but I tremble. I don't know whether you understand that or not. I know I'm going to make it through because that depends on Him. It's got nothing to do with that. But I'm afraid, as old John said, I'm afraid I'll be ashamed. I really do. Wish I could say different, but I'm afraid of that. I haven't been as faithful in my Christian life, and I haven't been as faithful in my pastoring as I should have. So many things I should have done, I didn't do. But it's coming. And last of all, how do you get these blessings? Well, Jesus said, I am the way, truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. There in verse 6, it said, we accepted. No other way, folks. I'm telling you, there is no other way. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23-24 said, it's not the wise man, it's not the wealthy man, it's not the powerful man, but it's that you understand and know me. Amen. Why do you get into Christ prospectively? By election. That's a prospect for every one of God's elect. We're going to get in Him. Because if you don't get in Him, you're going to be left out. That's for sure. Amen. Then you get in Christ positionally by regeneration. You become one of His children. Amen. Then you get in Christ personally by faith. He becomes your personal Savior. Amen. Now folks, I'm not a Camelite tonight, but I believe in baptism. You get in Christ pictorially by baptism. You're buried in baptism. Romans chapter 6 verse 1 says, just like Jesus Christ was buried for my sins and for your sins. And He came forth from the grave just as you and I are resurrected in baptism to walk in newness of life. Not only that, but what is it, Galatians 3 and 27 said, for we that are baptized, we put on Christ.
Amen.
Let me ask you something. Tonight, can you honestly say these blessings are yours? Can you lay claim to them tonight?
Amen, brother.
Somebody say, well, preacher, I don't know whether I'm one of the elect or not. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I want to read some verses to you. Verse 4, 5, and 6. Knowing, brethren, your election. The Bible says you can know your election. Election of God, for our gospel came in you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance.
Amen.
As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. I want to tell you, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ and received His word, you'll follow the preacher when he preaches the truth. If you have trouble following the preaching, preaching the truth, you've got problems. I'd worry about my election too. 2 Peter 1 and 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. I know in 1952, little church, Dawsonville, Tennessee, little clapboard church out in the country, I don't know, 50, 60 members there. And as Brother Jones says, but God interrupted me that Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd go to hell before they'd sing an invitation. I thought you had to sing, go up front. I'd even, before I say, made a mourner's bench to go up to get down on and pray. And I'd been taught by tradition that that's what you had to do to get saved. But I knew I had to do something that morning, and God got a hold to me, and I came out of there. I can show you right now where I was sitting. Not for bad church. I came out of there and I went up there, and the preacher wondered what he could do. I said, I don't know, but I'm lost and I'm undone and I'm going to hell. Something's got to happen. That's all I knew to say. I found out later it already happened before I left that seat. But I want to tell you, folks, if that's happened to you, you know you're one of the elect. The desire of your heart is to follow the Lord. That's exactly what you ought to do tonight, folks. If you've been saved by His marvelous grace and you know you belong to Him, you enjoy His blessings, you ought to do whatever you have to do everything you can for Him. If you've never been baptized and become a member of a true New Testament Missionary Baptist Church, that's the first thing you ought to do right now. If you know you, that's the first thing. Somebody said, well, I don't know whether it's this church or not. Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to be practical right quick. If you don't know, if you know you're saved for sure, you know you ought to be a member of a true New Testament Baptist church, but you're not sure which one, why don't you just join this one, and then later if you find out it's not, you can move to another one. Anything wrong with that? I don't believe so. I don't believe God keeps people confused. That's what I'm trying to say, folks. Somebody said, why don't you pray if it's the will of God for you to be baptized? Don't have to. He's already told me to. Thank you. God bless you.